It's too many churches in America has taken God's grace, and we treat God like he's weak. God's not weak. I say God's not weak, but thank God for grace. But the Lord took me back to when I spoke about Noah and the ark. That when Noah and all the animals and the fowls of the air and Noah and his family, the only reason they were saved, Noah and his family, is because Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Because he was willing to put up. Listen, it started when the first piece of wood was dragged to where God said build it. That's where it started. Laughing, talking about him, making fun of him, questioning. But every time he added a piece from the keel up, all he could think about is God said. See, we got to get a hold of what God said. And I'm just going to share with you, the Lord began to just show me some things, and I'm just going to share with you tonight what God began to show me. I'm asked Pastor Jesse and Pastor Charlotte to come up here. And I'm just going to share with you. On the Sunday. Come on up here. On the Sunday, when I walked in, it was about 1:30. Between 1:30 and 1:40 when I walked in. And Pastor Charlotte was standing. When I walked in, she wasn't sitting. She was standing here. And instantly, I had no idea. All I knew was my wife said, you need to come. Pastors ministering to families. I had no idea what was said before I got here. I just knew that God was ministering. And I want you to hear me. If I say it, it might not matter. They say it. It might not matter. It might not mean much to you. But if God says it, and whether we come to a complete realization of our in our life or not, when you're in this position, you have to be God's mouthpiece. You know, he couldn't have explained it better than he did this morning. What I say don't matter. What I think don't matter. But what thus says the Lord has to make a difference in our life. But when I walked in, this is what the Lord showed me. As plain as I'm speaking tonight, he spoke this to me. 'Cause I want you to get it. To an extent, our pastor, he's respected to an extent, but not at the level God wants him to be respected. And I'm not saying that because you hold this position, you're higher than anybody else that attends church. But listen, it's a great responsibility. He said, but Pastor Charlotte gets no respect whatsoever. And he said, until this church, Faith Temple, I'm not talking about the church across the street. I'm not talking about the one up the road. And I'm not talking about the one down the road. I'm talking about this church. Until this church gets to the level of respect for our pastors. Listen, she is just as much our pastor as Pastor Jesse is. Because he called them together. Said he called them together. But until we get that level of respect that God says, we're stuck. The word can be as strong as it wants. God's presence can show up. But until we start, listen, you know what's a shame? On the way here, the Lord said this. See, I sat on my sofa from the time I got home till it was time to get ready. And I just sat there saying, God, whatever you want is what I want. It's not about me. It's about you. But God said something's wrong with the church. When you have leaders in a community, or leaders in the state, or leaders in cities, in government, that gets more respect than I do. Some of you's looking at me about how I thought you would. Because let me tell you something. I don't know who's the acting parish president now, but if he'd have walked into this church tonight, he'd have got shown respect. You say, well, how do you know that? I've seen it happen too many times. Somebody in leadership, whether it's the parish, the state, the United States, or in any kind of type of government, gets respect. For 9 months, I served on a school board to fill in an empty seat, and I've never been called Mr. Kerpel so much in my whole life. Because of the position I sat. People literally called saying, I heard you're on a school board, how can you help me? With council problems, with problems going on, not in the school system, but in the parish. So all I am, I'm the same guy that you talked to. I'm talking within weeks. Said I'm the same guy you talked to last month. All I'm doing is filling a seat. But until we reach the place that God wants us to reach, it has to start with us. It has to start right here. And start respecting our pastors like they're God sent. Like he is, both of them are God's mouthpiece. And listen, I believe this. The other thing that God showed me, the reason you hadn't been stepping out, the reason you hadn't been fully doing what God said to do in the prophecy when he said you would literally see things as you're watching TV is because this church has held you captive. But God said it's enough. It's enough. And it's time that we start being people God called us to be. Listen, I'm not here to be your nephew. I'm not here to be your son. And I'm not here to be your friend. I'm here to tell you what God said. And if you won't listen to me, I'll go somewhere where they will. But it's time that we listen. And we start receiving God's word for what he says. He's been pretty plain and to the point lately. And it's time that we get it. For years, you know, if we'd have got this when it first started, how far more advanced this church would be? Those that God showed me this morning crawling in would have already been crawling in. These seats, these empty seats would have already been filled. But we got to grab a hold of it. Y'all can sit down. Brother Chad, come up here. Somebody get Sister Marlena out of the nursery because I want her to hear this because Brother Herman's not here. For over a month, I've been holding on to this. So everybody here knows when Pastor leaves. I want you to hear this. Is this being recorded? Take this tape and bring it home to your honey, to your husband. One of the times when Pastor was gone, I think they had left for 3 months. The first time y'all went, you didn't go over, to Nepal, but y'all was in the United States just going to all the places God showed you to go. Well, in that time, and I'm doing this because this morning, as the service began, God just began to release this. He just began to say, it's time, it's time, it's time. Well, we had a problem. Pastor was gone. I could have called him. So, I mean, his phone number stored in my phone. Brother Chad called me. You remember that? He said, I have a problem. I said, okay, what's the problem? Problem's Lil Herman. So I talked to him. Before we finished, I got another phone call coming in. It's Lil Herman. I'm in Bura, so I'm on my way to town. He told me the same thing. I got a problem. Well, what's the problem? It's Brother Chad. So, Troy wanted to call Pastor and say, hey, you handle this. But what I did this. I said, Lord, you tell me what to do and I'll obey. So I called them both back. Because I even told the Lord and I told my wife, I said, look, we was on our way to town to go out and eat. It had been a while since we'd been away by ourselves and we was just going to spend the afternoon in town. Say, God, I'll turn around. Because what I have to do is not important. But to make sure your work gets done, that's important. That's where my heart's at. That's what I want to do. He said, don't turn around. So I called him back. I said, go to the church and pray for 1 hour. And call me back. And oh, by the way, thank God they were both man enough to admit they had a problem. Some of us sitting here has problems with one another, and we're not man or woman enough to admit it so God could fix it. So they called me. It's still not fixed. It ain't no better. I'm in town, standing at the front door of the restaurant, waiting to go in. And I'm on the phone with one, the other one called the same way. Both of them told me the same thing. And I said this. I said, Lord, if you can't fix it, I sure can. I said, go back and pray and don't quit praying until it's fixed. So they did. But it took a while. It got better, but it wasn't completely fixed. It took months. In fact, over a year, to be honest about it. It took over a year. See, sometimes when it starts, the problem was when it started, it wasn't taken care of. And see, I want to apologize to Pastor Charlotte because if I'd have heard from the Lord when it started, it could have been handled before. But thank God he's taking care of it now. See, I can't have an ill feeling toward Brother Scott and just let it go because eventually he's going to know. You say, well, how when I come around him or when he comes and approaches me, he'll know if I have an ill feeling toward him by the way I treat him, by my reactions. And look, sometimes people walk next to one another and you can feel there's something not right. But God's trying to fix that tonight. Said he's trying to fix it. And while we're talking about respect, as I continue to go on, I want you to remember this statement. When Noah and all his family entered the door, the Bible says the Lord shut the door. See, if I close the door, I can go back and unlock it and let you in. But when God shuts the door, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. You could go sit down. But you see, we can't let it get to where we have ill feelings toward people. We can't allow it to destroy our walk with God. And that's what it does oftentimes. It destroys who we are in God. And some of you is looking at me like, how are you going to get what you just said to tie in with Noah and the ark? Listen. In chapter 7, God destroyed the earth. And if you go back and read, it's because it got so bad. Because of the condition of the people. You know, I think about what happened in Orlando. And it don't matter what the people were. It shouldn't have happened. And your heart goes out for them. But you see, God don't make a man, and then 20 years later, he decides that, oh, I want you to be a woman now. Or he don't make a woman, and 20 years later, he decides, I want you to be a man now. That's not how he designed us. See, not only did they believe a lie of the enemy, but they took the colors of the rainbow, God's promise that he wouldn't destroy the earth by water anymore, and they flashing it in his face because they chose those colors to be their colors. The earth is in bad condition right now. The world is in bad shape. And God's trying to get our attention for those that's ready or want to get ready to be a part of God's kingdom to come in. See, we don't have long. We don't have a long time to decide whether or not I'm going to be a part of this. But it's crunch time. It's decision time. See, if I can't respect you that I've been coming to church with for 20 plus years, how am I going to respect somebody that gets saved tomorrow? How am I going to treat them if they just get saved tomorrow? But you see, we got to be willing to be who God called us to be. So we got to be willing to be who God called us to be. And we also have to be willing to receive God's word. When it's the truth of God's word, and we know beyond a shadow of a doubt it's God's word, no matter who delivers it, we have to be in a place that we can accept it. Listen, God's fed up with people saying, well, if so-and-so would come in, I'll be there. Listen, if God can't get you here, your favorite preacher ain't getting you here. And if you do show up and it's only because your favorite preacher's here, it's a waste of your time. But we got to start showing up because God said. We got to start showing up because God said. You know, think about only eight got into the ark. Think about all the thousands and hundreds of thousands of people that showed up only to laugh, only to make fun, What was that word you used this morning? I'll be a moron. There was a lot of moron showed up. But they looked at Noah like he was. You know why? Because they never had a clear vision of who God is. Sometimes we got to ask the Lord to clear our vision. See, that's what I done when I got the two phone calls. See, God, I don't know how to do this, but if you'll tell me how, I'll do what you say. Because, see, I could have easily turned back around, came back, and we could have came, had a church meeting for hours and hours, and got the Bible out, and we could have even prayed and fussed. And eventually people get tired of hearing you, so they just act like everything's all right. Then you go home, but it ain't no better. The only people that can fix a lot of things in our life is God. See, God can't even fix us if we're not willing to obey him. We got to obey what he said. We got to be willing to do what he said do, when he said do it, and how he says to do it. See, sometimes we want to do what God said, but we want to do it on our terms. Our terms ain't going to match God's terms. We got to do what God said, when he said it, how he said it, and the reason he said it. And the reason he said it is so that our friends and our family that's lost and undone without God is going to begin to see a marked difference, a marked change in our life. That we're not going to have to go and preach to them for 2 hours. We're not going to have to go and explain to them. But when they begin to see a difference in our life, it'll cause them to want the God that we serve. You know, how can our community honor God when the church don't? You know, we can talk about what happened years ago all we want. You know, we could talk about all the good times we had. Well, we could also look around and see that it didn't make a difference. I mean, I remember in the old building, if somebody thought you was able to lay hands on them, they fell out. You know, we had them, the men fell out in the trees on the platform. They were falling on one another. But where are they? First time I ever prayed for somebody and I touched a lady on the forehead, she fell out, I'd step back because it scared me. I remember praying for a lady, and as soon as she fell, God said, "That ain't me." So get up. There ain't no time for pretending here. But see, we went through the era. If you didn't have a service where people fell out in the spirit, you just didn't have church. But see, if we'd have seen the truth back then, if we'd have went back then instead of trying to live one book separated, so what we've done for years, we lived one book separated into two. How long y'all been married? 51 years. Let him move to Belchase and you live down here for the next 2 years and see how long your relationship lasts. Because they are one, but you can't live in two different places and expect the relationship to continue. And see, that's what we've done in God. But thank God for his truth. Thank God for grace. Thank God that he cares so much about us. You know, it's just so powerful what Pastor said this morning. You know who's the only person could take my book, my name out of the book? It's me. I'm the only one that has that power and authority to take my name out of God's book. See, I got to stay in line with his word in order to keep my name there. But if I start going against what God said, by the way, it's wrote in pencil, so it can be erased. You know what's going to be sad is all the people that stands before God on judgment day, and there's a spot where their name was, but it was erased. All because they simply disobeyed. But thank God for grace. I said, thank God for grace. See, it's not too late. It's not too late. But we have to be prepared for that person that comes crawling in. You know what? We're going to literally have them. They're going to come to the door and they're going to literally need help. Not because of physical illness, but because of spiritual illness. They're going to literally need help to get all the way to the seat. You know how important it is? And I thank God that we have people standing at the back door. Because I've been to churches that the only person at the back door when you walk in is you. But thank God. You know how it makes people feel when they walk in and somebody says, "We're glad to have you"? It makes a difference on how they're going to receive the word that's being said. But it's got to start right here. Right here, it's got to start. Not Thursday night, not Wednesday night, not next Sunday, but tonight. That's how important it is. It's got to start tonight. You see, if we wait, the next service scheduled at this church is Wednesday for youth. But if we wait from now till Wednesday, we're taking a chance at losing a soul. Is it worth taking that chance? And for most of us, it'll be Thursday night. Is it worth taking? Is it? You know, Pastor, I asked myself the question, is it worth me taking a chance losing one of my friends? Losing the experience of seeing one of my friends or one of my kids or somebody in my family miss out on God by waiting? You know, we have to ask ourselves that question, is it worth it? If it is, just go on and do what you've been doing. But if it's not, we need to stand before God tonight and ask him to teach us how to fix it. Now, last Sunday, I talked about going back to the potter's wheel. And I had no idea till Friday. Brother Josh called and said they would be out of town and asked me to do this service, and he's going to do the next time. But you know, whether we think we're filling in for somebody or not, God has an appointed time for everything that has to be said and done. in the most important thing in our life, whether we stand in this position or sit in a pew, is we got to know when to say what thus says the Lord. We got to know when to say it. You know how many times I was in this position and the Lord went, shh, don't say nothing. Just show me. And the reason was because my heart attitude, the feeling I had at the time, had I spoke, I'd have said the wrong thing. But see, when God went, shh, I never understood that till after I sat down and it was just me and him. And he began to show me. You know, we can't, just because we could speak, don't mean we need to. Just because you can talk, don't mean you should. Listen, I've done had shh done so loud I turned around to see who was there. But we got to be willing to speak when God says speak, but only what he says speak. Because listen to me, and I'm sure that most of you has already realized this by now. If it would be up to me, if it would be up to Pastor, it would be a whole lot easier to make it. But if it goes against what the Word of God says, if it goes against the Word of God, you can't be in agreement with it. Because if we had our way, we'd make it easy for people. And you know what? There's a lot of people in America, because it's still, whether you take the easy way or God's way, it still takes a commitment. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Listen, there's people that'll preach what you want to hear, but it takes a commitment to giving them what they want. And that's all your finances. Did I say that? They want you to be there. Listen, it's time that we come out of Egypt. There's a lot of churchgoers that's in Egypt right now. You know why the children of Israel liked Egypt so much? Because all they had to do was do what Pharaoh told them to do. They had all the food they wanted. They had a good place to stay and everything that they wanted. Other than their freedom to really serve God, they had. See, but it still took a commitment. They had to do what he said. You know, do you want to live in bondage and do what some man says? Because that's what's happening in a lot of churches in America. People are living underneath the bonds of man, doing what they say, calling themselves Christians, and don't have a clue what it is to love God. Or do we want to come out of bondage and be committed to our Father, be committed to the God that created us, and be able to do what he said do and have a free life in him? That's freedom, is when we can live in God. I say freedom, real true freedom, is when we can live knowing that he's our Father, our Creator, and he can supply our every need and be there for us. That's true freedom. But to go somewhere and say, I'll do anything you want me to do, I'll work all day, I just need something to eat and a place to stay. That's not freedom. That's not what my Bible calls freedom. But we got to want God. It's amazing from Genesis to Ezekiel. How many times when God took the children of Israel out of Egypt, how often they murmured and complained. In fact, at one point, at more than one time, they said, just let us go back to Egypt. You know, when you have your Creator says, all of this you can have, but you got to serve me. You know, don't you think we'd be better off serving our Father, our Creator, than we are serving some man that was set in a position over a community that all he wanted to do is use and use and use and use you? We're a whole lot better off serving our Father, because there's benefits. I said there's benefits when we sell out to God. You know, I watch people, they sell out to a lot of things. You know, sometimes we become parts of different things going on in our community, in, you know, the calls made, and we just go. You know, Ryan can tell you, in the fire department, when that pager goes off or the radio goes off, it, you know, you don't, on the way there, you don't ask, well, you know, what's the sickness? What environment am I going in? You just go in. But God shows you somebody and says, all I want you to do is go sit down at their house and explain to them what my word says about how much I love them. And we have 30 questions about it. By the time we get to the 29th one, we done talked ourselves out of going. But that's how willing we need to be willing to go when God says. My wife can tell you, when that pager goes off, it could be in the wee hours of the morning. Get up, I get dressed, I jump in my truck, and I go. And I want to take that same enthusiasm, that same energy. When God says go, I want to go. See, but we have to be more enthused about doing what God said. So we have to be more enthused about doing what God said. And what's going to help some of us here tonight, I'm just sharing with you as the Lord drops this in my spirit, is when we stand before we leave, right here tonight, on Sunday night, what's the date today? The 26th. Of June at 7:34, if this Timex got the right time. I got to watch it. Most of the time I look at my phone to see what time it is. So watch this because it looks good. But tonight, not the next service, tonight, we need to get some things right when it comes to respecting those God put in positions to see this church move forward. Tonight. It's so critical we can't even wait till tomorrow. I said it's so critical we can't even wait till tomorrow. See, we've done it for so long. We know how to push through and make people think, oh, I'm just so happy. We even could raise our hands in worship. But see, when it comes and we're completely set free, and when we do this, how real can it be? How real can it be? Look, I'm going to share this and then we're going to pray. I'll never forget. It was a New Year's Eve service. And on that back door back there, it was beating and banging. This dude beat so hard on that door. When I left from right here, and before I got to the back door, I said, Lord, if you ever contain me, because I was about to go out there and choke me somebody. And I opened that door. He said, I need to come in. I heard all the music. I don't even know if he ever remembers coming here. But he sat right there, that second pew, with his hands lifted up and got more into the service than most of us that were here that night. He didn't care, because I told him, I said, let me tell you, you're coming in, but as soon as you start disrupting this service, I'm dragging you out. I told him that. So you can come in, but you will not disrupt this service. Well, I heard the singing and I want to come in. Well, dude, if you'd have been a little bit more sober, you'd have knew the other door was unlocked. Look, this building might be made out of tent material, but when you start banging on one of them doors, it makes noise. And he came in and he sat down. Of course, he got to the part of the service. I had to come up. I told her there. They said, watch him. And if he gets out of hand, pull him out. But you know what? The Lord reminded me of this. You know what's the sad thing? And I know he was drunk. And he knows he was drunk. But there were some people in this church when he walked in, you know what they done? Lord, don't let him come sit by me. Please don't let him see me. But you see, God was explained to him in his drunken condition. And I believe this with all my heart, that as drunk as he was, when the word of God was being explained, when who God was being explained, God went beyond his drunk condition and let him understand he didn't have to live that way no more. But we can't be afraid to deal with them. But what will cause the breakthrough in that a person in that condition to be saved, delivered, and set free? We have to learn what it is to show respect to one another. Then we can walk closer to God than we ever did, and we'll know exactly what to say in that situation. We know exactly how to handle it. Say how important it is. For some people, it's a matter of life or death. I'll never forget The man that walked in, it was in that same old building, that old building out there. And he was sitting on this side of the church. Remember the guy that you told? He had a choice to make, to serve God. Or this could be his last time. Within a couple weeks, he was dead. You see, when you start reading, right before Noah and the ark, God says in chapter 6, see the end of chapter 5 or the beginning of chapter 6, God's spirit is not always going to strive with man. God's spirit's not always going to strive with man. Thank God that Jesus, our Savior, made a way and paid the price. Because only through him. There ain't no side door. There ain't no back door. The only way in is through Jesus Christ, our Savior. He's the door. It's the only way to the Father. And we got to be willing to tell people that. So we got to be willing to tell people that. Listen, if you die tomorrow, you ain't going to the holding place while we pray you in. If you die, you're dead. Then when Jesus comes back, you're either going to raise or you're not. Plain and simple. You're going to take on immortality or you're not. See, it's our choice. That's so awesome about God. He lets us make the choice. You know, we got to get out of this fantasy land about who God is. Because we think because God knows everything, he can just do whatever he wants. God created us with a free will. And we have to freely will to let go of everything else in this world. And grab a hold to God like he's the only thing around. I said we have to freely will to let go of everything else. And grab a hold of God like he's the only one around. Because his glory. You know why we were created? We were created for God's glory. And he's not sharing us with nobody. Said he's not sharing us with nobody. But we got to want him. Let's stand. It's got to be about him. It's got to be about who God is. See, there's some of us here tonight. You say, well, how am I supposed to respect my pastors? And before we go any further, I'm asking Pastor Charlotte to forgive me for not showing you that respect I should have. To an extent I did, but not the way God said. And I'm asking you to forgive me. But I was called into the office of a pastor. And he made this statement because I respected Pastor Jesse more than I did his wife, but they're called to do the same job. And he said, I want to just tell you, thank you for respecting your pastor, even though he's younger than you are. I said, well, not only is he younger than I am, he's my first cousin. I said, but when it comes to doing the work of God, he's my pastor. He's not my cousin. He's not my friend. He's my pastor. Because God put him in that position. And the only way this is going to work. See, there's different men that God has put in position to speak. And, you know, I made this statement. We were in a staff meeting. Pastor said he wanted all the guys to get ready to preach on Sunday nights and Thursday nights, put a schedule together. And Brother Herman approached me about a schedule. I said, look, the schedule's fine. I said, but we need to learn as men of God, as being called by God to learn how to be led by His Spirit. Because I might be on a schedule to preach, and God says, you're not preaching, Brother Chad is. Not only do I have to be willing to step down from that position at that time, he has to be in a place where God to hear His Spirit and walk into that position and speak what God says. See, that's important. See, if the leadership can't be led by the Spirit, then the church can't. And if the church can't, our community's in trouble. So we got to learn how to be led by God's Spirit. You know, I'll never forget the first time I walked in Pastor Nathaniel's church. I walked in and I looked at the overhead. It had the name of the church, Pastor Nathaniel Barber. And the Lord arrested me. Just as soon as I looked at it, he said, it's not right. I not only called Nathaniel to pastor, I called his wife to pastor with him. And I told him, I said, by tonight, your wife needs to be named on that overhead. If your name's going to be there as pastor, you should have your wife's name. Because God called you together. And God didn't call this church to respect Pastor Jesse as our pastor and not Pastor Shirley. But they are both. Even though they're married and they're one, they both underneath the same calling of God. As two individual people, they both required to do what God said. And if you're going to walk in that requirement by God, I think you deserve some respect. And it's not because they demanding it. It's because God demands it. It's because God demands it. And he requires it of us. Said he requires it of us. And look, everything. When I walked in and I sat right there, because I know, and I've been knowing for a long time, that there was a lot of people in this church. They listened to what I said, but had no respect and never paid attention to it, and it didn't bother me at all. But you know what bothered me? Was when God said, I demand it. Because I was willing to lower God's command, and I was okay with it. And God said, Pastor Jesse didn't tell me this. When I got home and it was just me and the Lord, he said, enough is enough. He said, whether you want to accept it or not, that's not the way I designed it. And see, Pastor Charlotte accepted it for a long time. But that's not the way God designed it. And from this night forth, from right now forth, this church, we have to start showing a higher level of respect to those that God put to oversee over us. And then it's going to trickle down to we'll have so much respect for one another that our community is going to begin to comment about it. Not the way they've been commenting about it. But they'll see a godly respect for each other that they hadn't seen before. And it's going to cause their desire to want to come and serve God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you right now to help each and every one of us. Help me, Father. It's not nobody else's fault, but it's mine. And I'm asking you to forgive me, Lord. And I'm asking you, God, that you would help us and teach us how to respect one another like never before. With such a high level of respect that the world, our community is going to begin to see as early as in the morning, they'll begin to see a marked difference in Faith Temple Ministry. God, and I thank you for it. And I claim it in the name of Jesus. And before we leave tonight, if you're here, thank you, Lord. Listen to me. Not if you're here, you are here. You are here. Thank you, Lord. Because Pastor Charlotte hadn't received the respect that God required. Pastor Jesse didn't require it. But you see, we disrespected her so much that some of us are starting to lose respect for him. But God requires it. And it actually hindered what God called her to do. But tonight, not in an hour, but right now, there's some you need to take some time out before we leave. And you need to come to her. I'm not going to ask you to do it. I done what I done because God told me that's what I had to do. And I'm not going to ask you to do what I done. Because if you do what I done, probably won't mean nothing. But it's got to come because you ask God to forgive you. And then you come and ask her to forgive you. Because unforgiveness will keep you from doing God's perfect will. And we don't want that. There's no time for that. There's no time for that. So just take some time. Don't get in a rush. Service didn't last long. And probably some of you only want to go home and watch the news or Gunsmoke anyway. So just take some time and come up here. You say, well, how much do you know? I could actually call some names out, but that ain't what God said. You got to do it because God told you to do it. So just obey God and just do what God said. Just take a little time. And some of you, it's not just Pastor Charlotte. It's others. Look, this won't hurt nobody if you come and hug somebody. Tell them you love them. Don't hurt you. So just don't run out the door until you do what God said. You're dismissed. Okay, so don't leave. The faster you do what God said, we'll do the update on the Amish, then you can go home. So you control what time you go home right now.